In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Well, good morning. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of the Word for Life, which is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Let me encourage you, if you don't have a church home, we'd love to see you come and visit with Brookside. We've just started a new theme, a new study in the book of 1 Corinthians, and our theme for that study is the gospel changes everything. And we're going to be looking verse by verse there in 1 Corinthians and the issues that went on there in that church. And the book of 1 Corinthians is just so applicable to the difficulties and trials that you see within believers today, even within the local church. And Jack, I've mentioned it many times, that God instituted the family, government, and the church, and all three are under huge attack today.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you again for joining us. My name's Ken Keldner. I'm the pastor of Brookside. Jack Gardner is with me today, and we look forward to continuing our study in the book of Joshua. We're in Joshua chapter 3 today. Might be going a tad slow. But if you haven't been able to pick up any study with us yet, we've been talking about how Joshua now is leading the people. Moses is off the scene. And one comment that we keep making is when a man of God dies, nothing of God dies. It continues to move forward. And here they're finally ready to cross the Jordan River. The spies have come back. We talked about that last week, that the spies, they had put their lives on the line. Also, but we spent a great deal of time on Rahab and her faith. And I can just say this, that faith is the way to life. It's the way to eternal life, faith in Jesus Christ. And then once we know Christ as our Savior, faith is the way to live. There has never been any other way. However, I would say this, disbelief always results in despair and short circuits divine power and unfortunately can call down divine judgment. And it has been totally evident throughout history, the history even of the children of Israel. I mean, for the last 40 years, as we come into this book of Joshua, Israel is a stark contrast to the life of faith and victory that Joshua lived. I mean, the book of Joshua demonstrates how faith has armed a man with courage, has dispelled his fear. Because you remember, Jack, in chapter 1, four times, you know, don't be afraid, I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something we all battle.
Oh, yeah.
Is fear. And,
yes.
And God really rewards him with a divine blessing. The test of the crisis will mark where your faith is residing. You know, we talk about the crisis of belief, or that crisis of faith is when I'm going through that hard time, that hard trial. Am I totally dependent upon the Lord? Or am I going to be full of anxiety? Am I going to be full of worry? And Jack, that can hit all of us. And in fact, I was, you know, I have a close friend, Marty Vaughn, who called me one day. He's down in the Atlanta area. Great counselor. Knew him at Northland Baptist Bible College. He was there on staff for 29 years and talking to me. And I was going through some battles with fear and doubt and so forth. And I thought, you know, I don't want to tell Marty about anything of this. But man, he worked it out. And man, I'm spilling my guts to him. And when I finish, he goes, Ken, when we get off this phone call, you need to get on your hands and knees and ask God to forgive you for ungodly fear. And, you know, I knew he was right, man. I had tears coming down my cheeks. I was like, I know you're right, Marty. I can't believe I failed, you know, in my walk with the Lord and allowing these things to just take complete control of my life.
You know, been there. And, you know, it's funny how the enemy can really just pull you away from wanting to share that, you know, and meanwhile, he's got you isolated. He's working on you. And yet when you do, you know, have that trust and you go, okay, here's something I could use some help on it. And you share it like that. Boy, it's amazing how it comes together. But yet we are so resistant sometimes to that.
We are, because we think, you know, that passage in Proverbs, lean not to your own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
We try to figure it out. When God says, hey, I got it figured out, just trust me.
Right.
This morning, the study, really, I could put it in this question as far as application to you as we look into Joshua 3. is that are you prepared to give all to God and step out in faith, just as Joshua did, just as Rahab did, and see firsthand the blessings and the power of God? You know, Jack, I heard this story that I thought was interesting. Ruby Hamilton, a businesswoman in her 50s, was stunned at the loss of her husband of 32 years in a car accident. I mean, her anger and her disappointment went deeper than a more typical expression of grief, though. She'd become a follower of Jesus Christ late in her 20s, but her husband didn't share her newfound interest in spiritual things. Nonetheless, she had set about praying for him consistently that he would come to know the Lord. As she prayed, she eagerly awaited the day when her husband would surrender his life to Jesus. And then all of a sudden, this accident happened, and he was gone. And her prayer for her husband's salvation, it just seemed like it went up in smoke.
Hmm.
Well, flashback, a fellow by the name of Roger Simmons was hitchhiking his way home one afternoon, and he would never forget the date. It was May the 7th. His heavy suitcase was making him tired. He was anxious to take off that army uniform once and for all. And flashing his thumb to the oncoming car, he lost hope, thinking that black Cadillac, there's no way that's going to stop. And suddenly, to his surprise, the car pulled over and stopped, and the passenger door swung open. I mean, he ran as quick as he could towards the car. He tossed his suitcase in the back, and he just thanked that handsome, well-dressed man, and he slid into the front seat. Going home for keeps? I sure am, sir, the young Army man responded. He said, well, son, you're in luck if you're going to Chicago. Well, sir, thank you. That'll get me very close to my home. Do you live in Chicago? No, son, I have a business there, and my name is Hamilton. Here, take one of my business cards. And as the story goes, they chatted for a while. Then Roger, a Christian, felt a compulsion to share his faith with the kind man who had picked him up. And finally, knowing he was only 30 minutes from his house, he spoke up and said, hey, Mr. Hamilton, I just have to ask you something. I'd like to share something, though, first with you that took place in my life. And he simply shared the wonderful gospel message that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world and that he conquered death and he arose again and he can become your savior. And after that discussion, here Ruby, Mr. Hamilton's wife, she's been praying for him for years. He pulled the Cadillac over to the side of the road and he said, you know what, young soldier, I need to pray and ask Jesus to come into my life right now. And Mr. Hamilton told Roger, you know, Roger, this is the greatest decision I've ever made in my life. And I know my wife will be excited to hear about my decision. 5 years went by. Roger married, had two children, and started a business of his own. Packing a suitcase for a trip to Chicago, he found a small business card that had been given to him by that man that picked him up, Mr. Hamilton, 5 years earlier. While in Chicago, he had some time, so he went to the Hamilton Enterprises to see Mr. Hamilton. The receptionist told him he'd not be able to see Mr. Hamilton, but he could see Mrs. Hamilton. He soon found himself right there in Mrs. Hamilton's office, and she extended her hand. She said, you knew my husband? Yeah, Roger told her about how Mr. Hamilton picked him up while he was hitchhiking right after he'd gotten out of the service. Can you tell me what day that was, Roger? Well, yes, Mrs. Hamilton, that was on May 7th, 5 years ago, the day I was discharged from the Army. She looked at him, she said, anything that day at all special about Roger? I mean, he kind of paused, not knowing if he could really mention how he shared the gospel with her husband. But he said, Mrs. Hamilton, well, I guess I should tell you this. I explained to your husband that Jesus Christ took all the sin of himself on the world,
wow,
and he paid for it completely, and that we can become a child of God if we turn from our sin and trust Christ. Well, Mrs. Hamilton, anyway, that day, after sharing what your husband and I were talking about, he pulled the car over to the side of the road and invited Jesus Christ into his life. I mean, Jack, Mrs. Hamilton, we're told, just broke into sobs and her body shaking. And finally, getting her composure, she said, oh, Roger, thank you. I'd prayed for my husband's salvation for many, many years, and I believed God would save him. Mrs. Hamilton, where is your husband? He died 5 years ago in a car accident on May 7th. He never got home from that trip to Chicago.
Hmm.
The accident must have just happened shortly after he dropped you off, Roger. And I must honestly tell you that my faith has been shaken and I was starting to believe that God had let me down.
Hmm.
But I'm so thankful to hear about those final hours of my husband's life and that God did save my husband. I came across that story. That is just absolutely moving.
You
That's
know,
the power of God.
It is so incredible. And you know what strikes me is a couple of things. The faith of the hitchhiker, you know, to get in there and share the gospel when we've all backed off a few times. But yet he did. He stepped in. He did. And then on top of it, it's like, you know, here's God's plan working so beautifully. And even when we think, oh, it's, you know, it didn't happen, it's over, and here's what my eyes can see, yet he still can operate 5 years down the road in his perfect plan and have it come together when we had given up or thought something. And how he strengthened that lady's faith in this process. What a great story.
Yeah. I mean, the question is, what do you and I do when faith doesn't seem to make sense? Joshua and the children of Israel will be a tremendous example and encouragement to every one of us of how we can cross over our own obstacles, or should I say our own Jordan. They're going to have to put their feet in the water here for that water of the Jordan River, which was probably at flood stage, to actually part. That was going to be God's plan. And so Joshua, by God's grace and power, is going to lead. I mean, what an exciting time. He's going to lead this new generation of Israelites across the Jordan into the land God had promised to Abraham and his descendants 7 centuries earlier. No more wandering. Manna is not going to be their staple of food any longer. It was time for the Israelites to walk by faith, take claim to the land that had been promised by God, and then to see God at work. Parents and grandparents that are listening, what you will love to see and demonstrate to your children and grandchildren is the reality that God is real. I wanted our boys, I want my grandchildren, I want them to see that the God we serve, and we go to him in prayer and we ask, God, would you do this great work? And then to see God do that. You know, I used to tell young people all the time, go on this missions trip. Well, I can't afford it. Well, you pray that God will provide for you. And then you meet the requirements that are laid out there for you to be able to go on this trip. And I said, and I promise you, the missions trip itself will be a cherry on top, because the greatest lesson you're going to learn is God is real. And Satan wants us to put God way out there in the distance of our minds, that we're not really thinking about God. TV today basically shows life without God, and it can easily just start to consume us that God's way out there. No, God is absolutely concerned about each one of us. Read Psalm 139, and you can see that. And what worked for Joshua and Israel 3,000 years ago will still work for you and me today. That we can depend upon God. The God of Joshua is the God of your salvation today. Of my salvation today. And we simply trust him and we move forward. I mean, James, his whole epistle is to the believers. That's the context about how now you're going to live by faith. And we mentioned it last broadcast. The motto of practical Christianity is laid out for us in James 2:18, which basically says this: I will show you my faith by my works. All through the book of Joshua, faith results in action. So what today are you wanting to see God do that you can give him thanks and praise for as you step out in faith and say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you through this whole thing. Maybe it's a physical aspect you're going through. Maybe it's something at the job. But my prayer would be that today you will trust him and live your life by faith.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer, or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.